we moved in August of 2007. In all honesty, we wanted a city home. We wanted the exposed brick. We wanted rooms and a renovated home, something that was move-in ready. In addition to the close proximity to my wife's job, it had all of those things in the housing market, all the elements we were looking for. And we found my dream house, let my wife tell it, on Clinton Street. And so we purchased. We felt comfortable because of the strong neighborhood association. I think one visit that we took before we purchased the home to see the home, there was a citizen on patrol walk happening in front of our house, and it was really encouraging to see. At the time, my block was really I'm looking for the right term. My block was pretty run down. There was an open air drug market. There was abandoned homes. The blight was really there. And so during our visit, we saw a group of, you know, maybe 10 or 12 young, mostly white professionals walking up the street with their dogs. And I thought to myself, oh, my goodness, there's, you know, a group here that's invested in making the neighborhood better. So I thought that we could get in on the ground floor and hopefully stick around for a while and see some increase in property value and, you know, be better off for it. My goodness, the strides that we've made on my block specifically, we've, you know, curbed the drug market. We've planted about 4 trees. 2 of the abandoned homes have since been renovated, and they have great families in them now. Yesterday, my daughter was able to play with 2 other girls, young girls who live on the block in front of our house, you know, with their hula hoops and their bicycles. So it really has come around. We have planters in front of our houses. As my cousin who visits from Philadelphia often calls it, we have a suburban life on the city streets. I have to give Marvin Wesby credit for that line. That's his line. I mean, there's so many levels to the inequality. I think, of course, it all starts with, I believe, opportunities and exposure. I think there is a segment, a large segment within the city that has not been exposed to things outside of their everyday life, whether that be just educational opportunities or social events or cultural events and so forth. So there, in a way, is a narrow-mindedness about some members in the community. And so I believe that the divide lies there. Of course, this is America, so there's always the divide between the haves and the have-nots and what that leaves. But the divide that I can most speak of is just divided, it seems, between ignorance and knowledge. You know, you just have some folks who are just stuck in their old ways, who continue to throw litter on the ground and pee in alleys and, you know, just don't understand how to treat the place where you live, you know. It's, you know, with being a black male and seeing young black males with no opportunity other than, you know, the hustle of the streets, it's just really disheartening, and I don't know what I can do to fix it. And, you know, of course, I want a safe neighborhood, and I want my children to be safe, and what they do brings about danger. So, you know, you have that constant internal battle, you know, between my people and my children's safety. You know, you don't want to see them suffer, but at the same time, what they're doing to survive is a detriment to my safety, you know. So I'm kind of speaking about the drug trade. Education is definitely a key, but not in the traditional sense. I think it takes a mentoring and examples of how to conduct yourself to make a difference. I think the structure of school for a lot of these older children, you know, it's they're not able to get their arithmetic and spelling together, let alone their citizenship. So I think it takes touching the parents and the community at large needs to just see how great things could be if we live with that sense of community that we want to take care of the place that we live in.